All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Just to remind you, you can watch the programme if you wish. You can go on to our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, or our Facebook pages. Good morning to Dahi, Charlie, Marie, the Aussie Outlaw, Beth, and all the rest of you who are watching the show. We appreciate it. It's good to have you on board. You can watch us on your smart TV. Most TVs are smart nowadays, the new ones anyway. The YouTube app's pre-built into it, your Fire Stick, or any of your mobile devices. Okay, let's get to some of your comments. Just to remind you, of course, coming up very shortly, we have Community Guard information. But first, the new hate speech laws, coupled with the proposed facial recognition technology and the proposed programmable digital currency, are all steps in the erosion of citizens' civil rights, particularly the right to protest. They are key steps towards the Chinese social credit score system, which suits governments to control citizens and corporations to influence spending behaviour. All these proposals should be objected to by the population. I wouldn't go all the way down that road with you, but I appreciate your comment. How can you argue for technology that is not accurate? Imagine how inaccurate for it would influence the course of an investigation. That's coming from Martin there. Good morning, Greg. Again, no word about the migrant who stabbed the kids or about immigration. We were talking about facial recognition technology, which we've been talking about for an awful long time. We've given health updates on the child and its carer, who was still in a very serious condition in hospital. And he's been here. I'm not going to split hairs with you, but he's not a migrant as such. He was a migrant. He's now I think I misspoke on Friday and referred to him as an Irish national, when obviously I meant Irish citizen. So apologies for that. But anyway, cameras that only pick out the Irish, not people of colour, is the answer. The guards battered people on Thursday night, talk about heavy-handed, and they're the ones saying they don't know what the laws are. Will there be claims for the people who were battered? Well, that's why Gardaí are reluctant to batter, to use force with people for fear of action being taken against them. I absolutely hate reality TV, refuse to watch it now. Imagine living your life as an episode of Big Brother. Everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you buy, we are already partway there with our online banking and push for cashless society. Complete loss of freedoms. But sadly, the younger generation do not exactly realise what's at stake, which is a fair comment, perhaps. This didn't work in Britain. This is to do with controlling and tracking people. It didn't stop any attacks or improve safety. But if you can scare people, you can control them. My deceased dad used to say, idle hands make work for the devil. Why doesn't the government open free sports centres or other pastimes with an education element to it for those angry young people instead of facial recognition technology? Another seems if you speak out or go on a peaceful protest, we're all going to be called far right. And on it goes. Thanks for all of these comments coming in, by the way. I hate cars beeping because they're not happy with the driver in front, or beeping when they see friends. I hate it. Good morning, Greg and listeners. I'm a parent with young children. I feel there's no stop and start to the club underage Gaelic football now. The children need a clean, long break away from everything to recharge and come back refreshed. I believe all sports are a great way for young people to express themselves, wherever that is. The game should be based on quality, not quantity, with acts of sports personship at its core. Value. Thank you. Right, okay, let me see. We'll stick with the GEA for now. I fully agree with Eamon. Another, if I was playing, busting a gut while a teammate burns the candle at both ends and it affected him or her, I certainly wouldn't be happy. Doubt if Eamon McGee would. There's a balance, though, to be struck, of course, and you have to trust the players to make their own decisions, don't you, rather than try and legislate for their private lives. Maybe one rule, they want to bring in drug testing in GEA like other sports, might get a big shock, sadly. Back to courtesy on the roads here. Hi, Greg. Re-courtesy on the roads. Can you imagine how people here would get on if the same laws applied in towns and villages as they do in Germany, where cars coming out from a side road have the right of way, do they? Okay. Greg, yes, it is Jersey. I've driven all through the wee island, and that's the system. Everyone has to let at least one other driver out, coming in from Mary. Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate that. I just had it in the back of my head and it popped forward, and you've confirmed what I had read previously. I always let cars out and pull in to let traffic past, and the only people that will give you a wave or a flash to the indicators are Northern Ireland drivers, and this is coming from a Donegal man. All right, okay. Those children's stats are so terrifying. What are the Gardaí, Tusla and Irish society doing to reduce them. I agree with you. We should all be doing so much more. It's live right now. 120,000 calls in a year from children who are facing the most awful of situations. And it's been happening historically, and it's happening as we speak. On sports commentary, this caller says, good morning, Greg. Forget about VAR. It's female commentators that put me off. They just haven't got it. They haven't a clue. They try, but that's it. Do you agree or disagree? I mean, it's not a comment on gender here as such, but I think what listeners or viewers prefer, perhaps maybe, if the person has played the sport, for an example, like women footballers commenting on the men's football game, are you okay with that? Do you enjoy it? I have no problem with it, to be honest with you. Say, for instance, I don't watch much Premiership, but say, for instance, with the Women's World Cup, the Women's European Championships, I didn't really notice whether or not it was a fella or a woman. The same with boxing. If there's a female boxer, often they have a female co-commentator. It doesn't bother me at all. But it seems to be, I've read, that people watching, it seems particularly football, don't seem to like a woman commentating on the main game, male game. I'm not saying that's the case with me, because I don't watch enough of it really to care. I watch a fair bit, but I don't really pay much attention to the commentary, and I certainly don't watch the analysis. I just watch the game itself. But do you have an issue with female commentators commentating on men's sports, or men commentators commenting on female sports? Let us know. The telephone line to do that, the text line, in fact, is 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts, 086 60 25,000. Now give us a call on 07491 25,000. The sort of different genders commentating on different sports, anything in that area, is that something that bothers you, annoys you, or something you have a concern on? Not a concern. It's not life and death, isn't it? It's only a bit of commentary. But anyway, right, let's take a break. Garda Grania Doherty is going to be joining me, where you'll hear for the first time the latest news and appeals and information from On Garda Síochána. That's coming right up.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. It's 22 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 28th of November. It's time for Community Garda information, and we're joined in studio now by Garda Grania Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Thanks so much for calling up to us, Grania.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
It's good to have you up. Now, let's get straight into the appeals, and we'll begin, with a burglary in Letterkenny.
Yes, this burglary happened in Parkview Drive in the area of Gartlee, Letterkenny. Happened between the 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th of November, and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, the 26th of November. A window to the rear of the property was smashed. Entry was gained to the house. A number of items were taken, a mobile phone, a number of packets of cigarettes were stolen also. We're appealing to anybody, look, who may have observed any suspicious activity in that area, the area of Parkview Drive, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100. The Garda confidential line, as always, for all of our appeals, may be reached on 1800 666 111.
Now, appeal also now in relation to criminal damage in Newtown Cunningham.
Yes, this happened in the area of Monfad in Newtown Cunningham in the early hours of Tuesday, the 21st November, in and around 3 a.m. to 3:05 a.m. So a resident in that area, they were in their bed, they heard their dogs barking. They then heard footsteps on the gravel outside, and then they heard quite a loud bang. So upon a further investigation, they went down. They discovered that one of the front tyres of their van had been slashed. They checked around the property. Nothing appeared to have been stolen from the property. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area in the early hours of last Tuesday morning, around that time, so between 3 and 3:05 a.m, to make contact with Gardaí if they observed any suspicious activity, vehicles in the area or people on foot in the area. Maybe there might have been a taxi driver, so I suppose that's really the usual traffic that would be out at that mm-hmm. hour of the morning, and they usually would have a dash cam. So if anybody like that was in the area with a dash cam, we would ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 91671100.
All right, an unusual theft now from just outside Lahey.
Yeah, so this is an Indispension, that's the make of this. It's a triaxle tilt bed car transporter. It was stolen from Dramanis Glebe in Lahey, so it was parked up in a yard just along the N15. It was stolen between 4 p.m. on Thursday, the 23rd November, and 10 a.m. on Saturday, the 25th of November. We have a picture up of this transporter on our Garda Síochána Donegal Facebook page for people to see there. The word indispension.com, that's to be seen clearly across the rear tailboard of the trailer. So we're just asking, look, if anybody has any relevant information in relation to the theft of the trailer or in relation to its current location, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. And as always, the Garda confidential line either may be used.
Yep, of course. Now, Gardaí in a show investigating incident in a car park there at St Mary's.
Yeah, so somebody parked their car up in St Mary's car park in Bunkran. It was quite a short time period, this one. So between 1:20 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 23rd of November, the car was parked up. And during that short time frame, the Vauxhall logo was stolen, removed from the grille, forcibly removed. Damage was caused to the grille of the car then as a result. So we're just asking if anybody was in that area, if they've seen anything that might assist with this investigation, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Bunkrana on 932-0540.
Yeah, if you saw it, you'd remember it, I'd imagine, someone at that activity.
Of course, yeah.
Right, road traffic collision being investigated now in Newtown Cunningham.
Yeah, this collision happened in the townland of Tunny Habbock in Newtown Cunningham. This happened on Wednesday the 22nd of November in around 5:20 p.m. So a driver, they had been driving from Derry, actually. They were travelling along the R237 and they came to a stop upon reaching the junction. They were going to enter onto the N13. A car, which has been described as being blue in colour and possibly a Volkswagen, collided with the rear of their car as they had come to a stop. The driver then of this blue Volkswagen, they didn't remain at the scene. They travelled onwards onto the N13, turned right, headed on in the direction of Burt Bridge End. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled on the N13 between Bridge End and Newtown Cunningham on that date between 5:15 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. who had a dash cam in particular, were appealing to those motorists to make that footage available to Gardaí in Letterkenny.
All right, a couple of theft from vehicles in the Ballybuffet area now.
Yeah, so a couple of recent thefts. These occurred very neighbouring townlands, actually Glencovett and Knock and Ballybuffet. So a van was parked at an address in Glencovett. It was broken into between 4 p.m. on Sunday past there, the 26th of November, and 6:30 a.m. on Monday the 27th. Entry was gained to this van. No damage was caused to the van. A number of tools were stolen from the van, namely a Milwaukee battery grease gun, a Milwaukee cordless drill, a Milwaukee half-inch rattle gun, a tool bag containing sockets, two backhoe socket sets, and then there was this very distinctive and unique Zebra industrial style tablet. It had a hard case, and this tablet in particular should stand out, you know, if anybody's offered it for sale or if they come across it, you know, for sale in a second hand.
Sounds like
basis.
Someone's ability to make a living there was taken from them, at least in the short term.
Of course, a lot of their work gear was stolen from them. I believe there was another few items as well, smaller items of tools stolen. Mm-hmm. The van was cleared out, you know, and that's devastating. Of course, somebody's out there trying to make a living using these tools, and it's a devastating thing to wake up to find that your livelihood's been impacted so badly, you know. Another break-in as well. So this townland, these two areas are very close together, Knock Ballybuffet. So a car was parked up at a house at Knock Ballybuffet. It was also broken into between the same dates, between 9 p.m. on Sunday the 26th of November and 7 a.m. on Monday the 27th of November. This car was unlocked and entry was gained to it. A beige MK purse containing bank cards and cash were stolen from the car. We're appealing this morning really to residents in Glencovett and Ballybuffet, I have there, and Knock Ballybuffet, I should have said, to check around their property. You know, check garden sheds. Maybe you have a vehicle parked up that you haven't been in or you haven't used in a few days. Check it. Just make sure that nothing was stolen from it. Go out and check your garden shed if it was left unlocked. Quite expensive items are kept, as you know, in sheds, you know, and just check around your property to see was anything stolen from your property, and please alert Gardaí immediately if you do discover that something was taken, because obviously there was some sort of activity going on overnight that night in that area, and opportunist thieves may have been I would imagine they didn't just go to these two properties and strike it lucky, you know, so I'd say they tried numerous properties. So we're asking everybody, please check around your own property and ensure that nothing was stolen and let us know if it was. And if anybody observed any suspicious activity in these areas overnight on Sunday night into Monday morning, please contact us in Letterkenny on 916-7100. And of course, it goes without saying, if anybody is offered any of these tools for sale or that Zebra industrial style tablet, please contact us also. And the Garda confidential line may be contacted again on 1800 666 111.
And it's important for people to know that, and we've had updates in the past, that any information is very, very useful, because obviously the way it works in that, you know, an investigation is ongoing, maybe someone's arrested and charged, we don't always get updates on it. But these aren't just appeals that are chucked out there and then lie idly as such. I mean, they're all part of an ongoing investigation with a lot of success in many of these these cases as well.
Of course, and you, somebody in that area may have seen something, thought nothing of it at the time. Still, maybe this morning they're listening to this, they're still thinking nothing of it, but they thought it might have been a bit odd. Just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be something that could be massive. You know, it could be a massive part that we need to put the pieces together as part of this investigation. You know, even if you observed a car that you didn't see in the area before, even you caught the first few digits of the registration number or colour of the car, just let us know. Any wee piece of information to us can prove to be invaluable in these cases.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Operation Thor.
Yeah, Operation Thor. So this was established 8 years ago to target burglars. So the winter phase has been underway since October 1st. And this year we're hoping to continue to reduce the number of burglaries taking place, including those in people's homes. So as part of Operation Thor, checkpoints and patrols take place throughout the winter, during the day and all throughout the night. Intelligence is gathered in relation to known offenders, and we're regularly issuing crime prevention advice. You know, Sergeant Wallace there and ourselves in the community policing unit, we call out to groups, we issue crime prevention advice, and of course here on the radio and on our social media. So we're asking the community really to help us, you know, help us target these burglars by following a few simple steps to protect their home over the winter months, because this is a time when burglaries tend to rise. You know, the rates of burglaries go up in the winter time, unfortunately. So our advice is, please turn on some lights, and the LED bulbs can be more energy efficient. You know, the times that are in it, we're all trying to save money, so the LED bulbs may be more energy efficient. Use timer switches, motion detectors, lock your doors and windows. I think we're all guilty of that at times. We nip out or we nip next door, you know, and we think we'll be back in a few minutes, or what's going to happen. You know, and these people, they're in and out, and they can be in and out in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Look at what they do.
They lift cash, something handy, just they're gone, you know. Mm-hmm. Use a house alarm, store keys away from windows. Don't keep large amounts of cash or jewellery in the house. Now, and of course, look, if somebody has a large amount of jewellery, you know, just get a safe, get a good safe, invest in a safe, make sure that it's well secured to a wall.
It's also good to log all of that stuff as well, isn't it? Take pictures of it for, in case, God forbid, you are broken into, because often you find when people have been the victim of that type of crime, it can be a couple of weeks later before they realise a particular item's also missing as well. So you don't want to prepare for a robbery, but it's good, I think, to have a visual representation of your valuable goods.
It is. Photograph them, you know, and items, take them down, jot down model numbers, IMEI numbers of phones, things like that. And there is a property app that was developed and it's available on the, it's a Garda property app on the Play Store there. Even look, if you're not tech savvy and you don't know how to download this app, take note of it in your own house. Take photos of expensive items.
Yeah.
Maybe on the back of the photo, jot down the model number of the item, you know, but to keep a record, because it can be very useful to us also should the worst happen and your items are stolen.
But often a lot of this stuff turns up then, you see, be it pushbikes or what have you. You know, the guards do, and it can turn up down the country as well, they do end up, you know, cracking a case or whatever and finding stolen items, and then the struggle is getting them back to the rightful owners.
Of course, yeah.
You talked about how sometimes we neglect to lock our houses, windows and doors. I think we're probably more guilty of outhouses and sheds not being secured or not being monitored.
Yeah, and I think this was mentioned last week, you know, in relation to sheds, you know, that it's equally as important to lock your shed, because even with the expensive items in your shed, you know, ride-on mowers, power tools, whatever you store in your shed, but besides that, you know, somebody can gain entry to your shed. If your shed's left unlocked, they have ladders, they have all sorts of tools that can enable them then to gain access into your home. You know, so please lock your shed, lock up your shed, lock up your car. If your car's parked in your driveway, the same thing. Look, if it's parked down the town, it's the same advice applies. Don't keep large amounts of cash or valuables in it. Lock it up, ensure it's secure, bleep it there and give it a lock up before you go to bed. And the same, make sure your shed's locked before you go to bed. Don't keep large amounts of cash or jewellery in the house. We've mentioned that one. And I think it's just important to be vigilant, you know, in your neighbourhood, to watch out for neighbours, especially if you have any neighbours who are elderly or vulnerable and you're aware that they're living on their own alone. Just keep an eye out for them, you know. And back in the olden days, I think maybe people were a lot better at this, and now you may be because people have a fear of being viewed as being nosy, you know,
well,
if they're watching their neighbours.
The truth is, and I heard Superintendent Kelly?
Yeah.
Reference this is, I think we're actually more inclined now. You talked about the as a part of Operation Thor, daytime, nighttime checkpoints and all, and people always think it's trying to do someone for a month out of date tax or whatever it might be. But a lot of those are for operational period purposes as part of Operation Thor. And I think rather than actually keeping an eye out for suspicious vehicles, many people now are more inclined to warn people of where the Gardaí are. You know, we've really shifted here from keeping an eye out to sort of try and evade or to disrupt the work of the police. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get that, and I think sometimes people don't maybe perhaps realise that's what they're doing.
Well, I think people maybe think they're doing a good turn for their neighbours and friends, and they're trying to save them a few bob in case they get a fine, you know. And that, I suppose, look, that's human nature, and while that's not right, I think sometimes people don't realise that, as you said, a lot of these checkpoints are for crime prevention purposes, you know, for intelligence gathering, you know, for reasons like that. And
we always hear stolen property or materials in a car that might be used for breaking an entry or drugs in a vehicle. I mean, often they are picked up on these random checkpoints that are here, there, and everywhere.
They are, of course, yeah, yeah. And as well as that, you know, by posting on social media, and you do often see that, you know, checkpoint at whatever location, and they're warning their friends and whoever their Facebook friends are. And they can be doing a lot more harm than good, you know. And the reason for these checkpoints is just not always. Sometimes it is to check your tax and insurance, of course. But as you said, sometimes as part of Operation Thor, these checkpoints are for intelligence gathering purposes. You know, who's in the car, who's travelling with them. You know, maybe a search of the car could be conducted. And by warning people that these checkpoints are taking place, you are really doing a lot of harm to your local community, you know.
Check My Link is a new facility that's out there. Now, I actually think this is more important in making people think about links rather than actually checking them, because really, if the truth be told, unless it's like highlandradio.com or rte.ie, it says be careful here, potentially. Do you know what I mean? So I think its greatest function is to get us to think about checking links rather than necessarily the information it might provide. That's not to do with a disservice or whatever. But anyway, it's there, it's free. Give us a bit more info.
Yeah, I think now coming up to Christmas too, I don't know about you, do you do any online shopping? But no. I know I'm a devil for it. I'm steady online shopping, as it's.
You were actually telling me before we came on air that you have everything done for Christmas.
I do.
You've all your shopping
done. I've all my shopping done.
Christmas decorations up.
I didn't go that far yet. The 1st of December. I draw the line now before December. It doesn't happen.
You seem a traditionalist. We don't wait till the 8th.
Well, I might. I just might wait till the 8th. That gives me more time to relax again.
But anyway, no, I think it's a. I think I do the majority of my shopping in person. But I always find there's stuff I want that I can't necessarily get locally. So it's a blend. So I do some online shopping.
Well, I think there's just so many new websites popping up now that seem to be offering too good to be true deeds, you know, online. And we've all seen them online. And it's very tempting when times are tight for people and they're trying to save everywhere they can, you know, and it is tempting times.
It's a mixture of either a scam or crap quality stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of these are drop shop type of outlets. You'll see the links on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere. Where the item is like, you know, an electric bike for $59.99 or something stupid like that there. You'll get something for your money and they won't necessarily clean out your account, but you have to be careful of the quality of the stuff that you're purchasing, as well as giving your details to an organisation you can't trust.
Yeah, well, look, this I went into this other evening to check it out, actually. I put in 5 or 6 different websites just to check. Did you try it out as well?
I don't
know.
I went through my SMSs, you know, and all of the spam messages.
Yeah, to check them out.
As if I needed to paste in on.pos.robbery.yourdone.com. But I still checked it.
They were all legitimate sites I was checking to, you know,
when
I should have been putting up my tree, probably. But anyway, this is a free online service. It's designed to prevent shoppers from being scammed. So it's Check My Link. This is a security tool. It was built by Munster Technological University Cyberskills in collaboration with Scam Advisor and Garda Síochána and other partners. So shoppers are being advised to be vigilant while shopping online in the run-up to Christmas, and always, not just in the run-up to Christmas. So this service is easy to use. It'll help you determine whether a website is likely to be legitimate or a scam. So it's just useful to have a way to check that this website that you're buying from is authentic and that it's not infected with malware. You simply type in the address of the website that you want to check and your results will appear within seconds. So the site can be accessed at www.checkmylink.ie.
Yep, so it's kind of trustworthy, dubious, don't go there, but it makes you think, and that's why I think it's useful. Talking about being safe and being seen, and this is not to in any way attribute blame or to call people out, but I was driving to work this morning, pitch black, and the school bus runs had started, and a school bus pulled into the left, hazard lights on, and then 2 or 3 young ones ran from the far side of the road in all black. And there was oncoming cars and lights, and they were invisible. Grindy, they were literally invisible, and I just thought if someone could have been impatient and saw the traffic lights and gone around, you know, not thinking that kids would cross the bus to the other side of the road. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just put me in mind of high-vis or something along those lines would have been really useful there. But that's just one example of one thing I saw today, and it makes you think, oh, you know what, no one done any harm and didn't think, but it really appeared really quite dangerous to me. But you have an appeal now for pedestrians, cyclists, general road users as well, Grania.
I do, and actually I was travelling home from work myself this night in through the town, and a man crossed from a shop, an elderly man. He was crossing over to the other side, and as you said, just totally black clothing. Mm. That was within the town, it was well lit. I had still had trouble seeing him, to be honest now. So if that had been out in a country road, you can imagine you definitely wouldn't have had a clue that person was there. So we're just continuing to urge all pedestrians, cyclists to ensure that they can be seen clearly when you're out in the road. Remember, when you're out walking, cycling or running, that you can see the traffic. The traffic, you know, the cars are well lit up, but the driver might not always see you. Put on a high-vis or some high-visibility armbands, you know, carry a torch with you maybe. It makes all the difference. You know, even something so simple as a...
Well, most people have a torch in their pocket now.
The phone has a torch. But even times you would see school children there, and they might have a reflective, I know the RSA do them, you know, the wee reflective teddy bear, even something like that hanging from their bag, you can catch the glimpse of it, you still see it. So something even so small makes a big difference. So, and cyclists, please make sure that your bicycle lights are working before going for a cycle. There was a problem there for a while, I know people were having trouble accessing or getting their hands on high-vis gear. So we've managed to get a few box loads of high-vis vests for adults and children, and they're at Letterkenny Station. So if anybody wants to call in, they're more than welcome to call in to collect one.
All right, brilliant stuff, Grania. As always, thank you so very much indeed. That's Grania Doherty there, Garda Grania Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Now you can listen back to that item if you missed the start of it on our podcast, and it'll be available for you to watch as well on ours and on Garda Síochána and the Donegal's Facebook pages a little later on. Back live with you after the news at 10 next Tuesday, Grania. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so there is a big conversation going on now about equipping the Gardaí or the state with more powers, facial recognition technology, though we had the Irish Council for Civil Liberties questioning whether the EU would approve that or indeed if it will move as quickly as some might want it to. But anyway, Eamon O'Hara joins us for comment on this. Good morning, Eamon, on this, I suppose, policing more generally. How are you keeping?
Not too bad, Greg, yes, not too bad. Yes, Greg, I suppose I'm more, with regard to policing, it's got to do with the subject of abortion that I'm really, the issue I really want to bring up.
That's all right, go ahead then.
Yourself. Yeah, basically, just for your viewers, and I'm sure yourself too would be maybe aware of this, maybe you're not, I'm not sure, but roughly about 2 weeks ago, there was a bill brought in through the Dáil which passed by maybe over 100 votes, mm-hmm. hundreds in favour, maybe 10 against sort of a thing, in relation to pro-life protests. Now, basically what it is, it's called a Safe Access Zone Bill. So basically what it is, it's the plan with this bill is to criminalise any pro-life protest taking place within 100 metres of any facility that carries out abortions, you know. Now, I'm talking about peaceful protests that are mm-hmm. within the law. Now, before when this was at a Oireachtas stage, the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, was asked for his, you know, expertise in the area with policing. And basically, what he had said was that if any public order offences took place outside any of these, you know, facilities, that existing public order legislation is sufficient to deal with any issue that may arise. Now, so my issue would be, like, to date, to my own knowledge, I haven't heard of any issues arising, and I've definitely heard of none going through the courts because, I mean, it would have received quite a lot of media attention, mm-hmm. you know? So my point is this sort of bill is very discriminatory because it criminalises pro-life protesters who are peaceful protesters. I mean, they're acting within the law as
so, Eamon, when,
as it is. You
when
know?
You protest outside one of these facilities, what is the aim of what's the aim of the protest? Because whether people like it or not, a vote was taken and people were given the right to this type of healthcare in inverted commas. Now, put it in inverted commas because some would say, well, it's not healthcare, and I don't
well,
want to get in.
I agree with you there.
I don't want to. I know, but I don't want. Well, that has been well discussed in advance of it. But anyway,
I know what you're saying.
What would the function of protesting directly outside one of these facilities be? What's the aim? What would one hope to achieve?
Well, first of all, yes. Well, the function is, I mean, within law, everybody has a right to peaceful assembly and peaceful protest, no matter what the issue is, you know. But my point is this criminalises only one somebody protesting on a certain issue. Mm-hmm. Like, just give you an example, like, topically at the minute. Now, I'm not taking sides in this, it's just to compare like for like. There's a lot of protests at the minute protesting against Israel because pro-Palestinian, support. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. and that's everybody's right. But, I mean, I think everybody, no matter what the issue is, should have the right to peaceful protest.
I get you, but I want to understand. You know? Yeah, I get you, but I have to understand it because, you see, for someone who, I presume it's a very difficult decision to make, they've made that decision, and I'm sure, too, for the medical professionals, they feel that they have to do this, some don't. It's there anyway, but what I'm trying to ascertain is what is the function of a protest directly outside a facility that facilitates abortion?
Yes. Well, first of all, as I said before, everybody has the right to peaceful protest.
No, I get that, and I get that. I understand that. Yeah.
But, like, generally anybody... I mean, if you're protesting on any issue, generally speaking, I know I'm generalising, but the protest generally takes place outside the building that you have the issue of concern with, or the facility. Like, say for example... there's a strike with, say, nurses, right? They'll be on strike, or even if they're maybe not on strike, but even protesting. It's generally speaking outside their place of work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So abortions take place, like, in medical centres and sometimes in hospitals. So, I mean, that's the same concept, you know? Like, as I said to you earlier on...
But would it not make more sense, Eamon, would it not make more sense, and you could say this of a lot of protests, that the decision... Yeah. Firstly, the person going in there, you don't know their circumstances. You don't know.
Well,
it could end
true,
up being
yeah.
could end up being your niece or something. We simply don't know, right? That the decisions are made in the door. And surely that's the place where legislation is debated and written to protest.
Yeah.
Why upset someone who's probably already gone, or perhaps was the victim of a sexual assault, for an example? And I hate using extreme examples, right, because I don't think that furthers any argument, but this is, it's a probability, right? What is the, what, I don't understand the function of putting them through seeing that when really the people that are making the decision are sitting in Dublin.
Yes. Well, you see, the thing is, Greg, I mean, if you believe, as I keep saying, I know I'm saying the same
thing. It's okay, Eamon,
I get you. If you believe in a peaceful protest, I mean, this is all within law.
Yeah.
Like, and the Garda Commissioner was asked, and his expertise was that existing laws will deal with any, issues that arise. And no issues, to my knowledge, have arisen because I haven't heard anything, been reported in the media. But, like, right, I mean, you could turn that around. You could say, like, why, at the minute, there's a lot of protests, as I said, pro-Palestinian protests.
Understand
they protest outside, they protest outside, like, which they're perfectly...
But you're protesting an individual... You're protesting an individual person's decision. Let me put it to you like this, right? So, okay, I get you. But say, for instance, there's something about you I didn't like, Eamon. Right, and I'm not saying there is, and I decided
well,
to get.
No, there isn't.
There is Eamon, but I decided to get seven or eight people together, okay, and stand outside your house, and it would be peaceful, okay. But you and if you had a partner and children, would have to come in and out of that house every day, right? And we'd be there with placards that would offend you or your view or a decision you've made.
Yeah.
Yes, I would be peaceful in my actions, okay? But do I not have some responsibility for the anxiety and stress I'd put you and your family and your children through? It's something I would never, ever want to do. It's...
Well, the first point I'd like to make with that, Greg, I'm not sure if you would be aware. Generally speaking, pro-life protests are very small in nature anyway, and they're very sporadic. I mean, there's very few of them that be in Donegal. But generally speaking, just to give your viewers, if they've never seen one before, generally speaking, there might be five or six people, 10 at the most.
Yeah.
They might have a placard, saying that they oppose abortion or whatever. And generally speaking, the people are praying the rosary. That's generally what goes on. They're not stopping anybody going into any facility.
No, I know that, but Eamon, you know the effect that has on it. It has a person going in there. It's designed to. It is designed. Well, whether it's designed to, it's going to intimidate, hurt. hurt them. It's going to make life difficult for staff, potentially. And you and I know, Eamon, with the best will in the world, that protest is not going to change anything. The only thing it's going to do is emotionally impact the people, either A, accessing the services, or B, providing the services. You know, it's never going to stop it in the nature of the protest that you've described, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yes, Greg, but there's lots of protests that take place. Like, first of all, when I say anybody, any pro-life person isn't going out deliberately to, like, upset somebody. Do you know what I mean? That's not their aim. But, like, there's lots of protests that upset people. But, I mean, I would still say the person has the right to protest peacefully.
Yes.
Like, just say for our argument's sake, like, put your topic now. I'm not getting into the rights and wrongs of it, but just say there's a lot of protests now at places, refugee centres where people are actually living. You mentioned about, you know, protesting outside somebody's house there, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, these refugee centres are places where people live too, you know.
Well, let's just say, for example... people have a difficulty with that. There was a candlelit vigil organised in memory of the awful stabbing incident which a young girl remains critically injured on her care, and we wish them a full and speedy recovery. They had that protest outside a refugee centre in East Wall in County Dublin.
Yes.
Now, it had nothing to do with
the
stabbing. But my point is...
Eamon,
just one moment. You know? Just let me finish the sentence.
Yeah.
The function of that only could have been to make those people in the detention centre, many of them children, feel uncomfortable. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, does it matter if you're 100 metres away from the front door of a facility that provides abortion? Like, why do you have to be right outside it?
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to, but that's discriminatory, because it doesn't apply to anybody else that's protesting on any other issue. That's the point. Do you know what I mean? This is a law specifically for pro-life protests.
I understand your point. I do understand your point.
You
why
know,
this in particular?
You know.
But
and I mean, I'm just giving you examples about Israel and about, like, refugee centres. I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong. The point I'm trying to make is that these protests do take place outside where people might be emotionally affected by them too. That's my point. It's not that they're right or wrong.
No, I understand that. I do understand that. Of course,
you know,
I do. You're uncomfortable with this legislation anyway, suffice to say.
Well, you see, I mean, there's no other piece of legislation. I mean, as I said, everybody has the right to peaceful protest, but there's no other thing that you can protest on that's going to have restrictions like this. That's my point. And, I mean, the Garda Commissioner has said that there's no real need for it. I mean, and that is on record. So what I'm trying to get at, no matter what your viewpoint on these protests are, I mean, surely it's discriminatory when you say that a certain person hasn't got the right to protest.
Yeah, no, I take your point. I do take
That's the issue.
Yeah.
It's not the right or wrong of abortion or that I'm getting at.
It's more about the protest, the right to protest on it. I understand.
Yeah,
okay.
You know,
well, listen, Eamon, I hope you feel heard. Your views were heard. So thanks very much for your time.
And thanks for contacting me to come on the show. Caroline contacted me there.
That's
thanks
good.
Very
well,
much.
Thanks for accepting that invite. Okay, Eamon O'Hara there. If you agree, disagree, 08660 25000, WhatsApps and texts. Your pro-life commentator is avoiding the answer. The demonstrations are there to intimidate the women who are going for a termination. But the reason he perhaps didn't answer that directly, he might feel he did, is that he's saying that it's discriminatory that particular type of protest is the one that's legislated for against, is the point he seemed to be insistent on making. Plenty more comments coming up. We're going to take one more final break before the news 11 to clear the decks for a very busy 11 to 12.